for listening to Weekend Debrief, a podcast of Grace Church in Dallas, Oregon, where we look back at the events and activities of the weekend in our church community and the world and talk about them in light of the gospel. Thank you for listening. Hey, Wes.
All right. Hey, Dave.
We're here with episode 112 of Weekend Debrief and got back into our 1 Corinthians series, and oh mama, we got some stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, no, this is good. I do want to say, not that anybody is really probably on the edge of their seat, but with the pending end of the NFL season, we will not be returning to our mascot series. We've kind of run the gamut on that.
Of course, yeah. We'll come back. There's some teams we didn't talk about, but we need stuff for next year.
That's
next
right. Football we season. We can't do it all now.
That's right.
But just know it's going to come down to Casey Wolf and Sourdough Sam.
There we go.
That's my prediction.
There we go. Yeah, congratulations on your Chiefs. Yep. Good win. Yeah. Although Mahomes had a little injury. Your star quarterback and. Yeah. Joe Burrow, who you have to face next week. My goodness, that guy is clutch.
I am nervous. I am definitely nervous. So yeah. It'll be a good game.
That's right.
Definitely a good game. So, yeah. So our first, we had our introductory message to kind of remind us of where we had been in 1 Corinthians, and then we launched into this one that was full of sex. I don't know how to say it. So
that's right.
We should have had a counter. You know, like the little door counter.
How many times did I say sex on Sunday?
I don't know what the person said,
but at one point I had said something like, "Did you ever expect to hear this in church?" And someone in second service said something out loud, and I don't know if it was like "never" or something, but it was something that they said audibly, and I'm like, "What did they just say?" I don't know.
Yeah. But. Well, like there was the couple that came in after the message had already started first service, and they walked in right as I said something. You handled that well, and it kind of broke the ice.
Yeah, it was
kind of like this, you know, the nervous laughter, like okay.
Just want to say this was the next passage up in 1 Corinthians, and Paul was rather blunt about it, so I thought we should just kind of dive in and why beat around the bush?
That's right.
Let's talk about it in a positive way.
Yeah. So we did have a couple questions come in, or a few questions, and this first one, several parts to it, so we're just going to dive right in. So the question is, part of the application for spouses this week, albeit tongue-in-cheek, was to go have sex. How does the gospel inform our application of sexual intimacy in marriage? How does Christ address our sexual brokenness? For some couples, their history, there's you kind of addressed on part of this that in the 80s, 90s, later 90s, there was the real big push that we saw through churches and youth groups, and sex was really kind of looked as shameful. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, even as adults, there, depending on experiences, sex may be shrouded in shame and sexual addiction. So with all of that, and those experiences that people bring to the table when they are married, how does the gospel inform about sexual intimacy? Yeah. And I think you touched on it some, but maybe just to revisit that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think we must remember that sexual sin is sin, and like other sin, there are some different consequences as a result that Paul addressed in chapter 6. But it's sin, which means it can be forgiven, and you can be washed clean of it. And while there is ongoing consequences of past sexual sin or indiscretion, or however you want to say it, you can have a fresh start, and you can have a healthy marriage. I think it's good to consider, you know, Paul's warning to, if you can avoid, you know, as a younger person, avoid those areas of sexual brokenness, then you're going to be better for it.
Yeah.
But you can be washed clean of those things and have a healthy marriage, a healthy, you know, sex life within your marriage. But with that, there is still the ongoing results of whether it's sexual abuse, addiction, trauma, all of those things that the question asker asked about. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, in the gospel, we can be healed from those things. Mm-hmm. And while they'll, especially when it comes to sex and even things like pornography and whatever, mm-hmm. those things stick with you more than other sins right. do, right. which yeah. is why I think Paul makes that statement. Mm-hmm. It's you're sinning against the body, right?
Like right. Yeah.
those hurts, that trauma stays with you in a way that's different.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who's seen, you know, an image of a naked, you know, mm-hmm. any guy that's seen an image of a naked, you know, woman mm-hmm. will tell you, they forget many things very easily,
right.
even things yeah. that they need to remember.
Yeah.
But those images will randomly pop mm-hmm. up, like they're almost impossible right. to forget. So,
yeah. Yeah.
so you gotta consider that. But I think Christ can redeem sexual brokenness in marriage. Mm-hmm. He is a God of redemption, and mm-hmm. So I think it's possible. It'll take work,
yeah.
possibly counseling. I think the key is open communication
yeah.
between husband and wife, yeah. sharing that, you know, whether it's abuse or trauma or past addiction, current addiction, so that you can go through the process of healing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just when we think about the gospel, you know, there's like three key words that come to my mind when I think of gospel, and there's love,
mm-hmm.
there's grace, and there's mercy. And you know, when we can allow those things to help inform on how we make decisions.
Yeah.
So whether it is both individuals in a marriage have sexual brokenness, or it's just one, it is that open communication, like you said, and then having grace and mercy and love for one another to walk through it together.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I think there is that point where you in a marriage, you have to recognize when the problem is outside of yourself. Like mm-hmm. we can pray about it, we can say we're committed to working through it, but there may be a point in time where we need some help outside mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to give us perspective and ways to work through the marriage
yeah.
in that area. So now with that, they go on to ask, is there ever space to pause sex in a marriage to address some of those areas in healthy ways? So are there times where where sex maybe is taken off the table for a season, for a time to heal?
I think this is a very nuanced question mm-hmm. that would apply differently to different people. So, you know, what is it that we're talking about? There's a difference between, you know, someone who was sexually abused mm-hmm. or raped in the past
mm-hmm.
And someone who just has the ongoing consequences of past sexual indiscretion mm-hmm. or, you know, activity that,
yeah.
that they did willing. Like, those are two very different things.
Right. Right.
So the challenge with this kind of question is there space? If we say yes, then someone might apply it to something where
yeah.
it's not needed or warranted. So I want to be careful with that this is,
mm-hmm.
if I would say yes, there is a space to pause sex in marriage to address brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to think back to what Paul said clearly in that passage.
Right.
So if we apply this to, let's say, he says that the concession he gives is for a short time of focused prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that in a Christian marriage, that would apply to this topic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You would be praying about it, I would assume.
Yeah.
If you're
yeah.
not praying about it, you should be.
Yeah.
So is there a time where, with prayer being part of that, you take a break, then mm-hmm. certainly I think that would be an application of what Paul was saying there.
Yeah, yeah.
The key is short, mm-hmm. That you're not putting the other, you're not depriving the other person. So mm-hmm. if there's one person in the marriage that is dealing with these areas of brokenness and mm-hmm. trauma, which is valid,
mm-hmm.
but then that turns into an ongoing deprivation of sexual intimacy for the other person,
mm-hmm.
well, now that person's trauma is now causing hurt
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a division within the marriage.
Yeah.
that's where I would call it, where Paul says it's short,
yeah,
and then you come back together. So, you know, and it's mutual. It's agreed upon by right. both. So it's not one saying, well, I'm dealing with this trauma, so suck it up.
Yeah.
You know, and wait for me to be ready. That Paul says can't happen.
Right.
It's mutual. Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking about things that are very nuanced. I'm not.
Right.
I don't know every situation. I can't speak to every situation.
Not downplaying trauma.
Correct.
Or brokenness. And,
correct.
And, yeah.
And then possible need for there to be a break to heal. Mm-hmm. But I don't. What I would say is I don't think. So if you let's take it out of the idea of sexuality, mm-hmm. and put it in something else. If there's a wound, a broken bone in your body, there's a season where you can't use that bone.
Right.
That, you know, so you broke your leg or whatever.
Right.
There's a time where we're a short period of time, mm-hmm. during the healing of that.
Right.
And then there's a period of time where you're going to rehab, you're going to right. physical therapy to work yourself back into using it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
What doesn't work is for you to never use that leg again,
mm-hmm.
or yeah. it actually becomes detrimental at some point when that leg isn't being rehabbed or
right.
you're not going through therapy for it.
Yeah.
It's just, you're letting it continue to be unused.
Yeah.
Then you have atrophy, you know, mm-hmm. muscles start to weaken. You yeah. have, bone density and those mm-hmm. kinds of things can be affected. I'm sure. not a medical doctor. I'm going off of what I have
right.
heard and
yeah.
things. So yeah. anyway, all that to say, we can all agree not yeah. using that leg at all because it got broken at one point mm-hmm. is going to further damage that leg.
Right. Yep.
In the same way, I would say if there is trauma, brokenness sexually,
mm-hmm.
but that leads to ongoing extended periods of time where sexual intimacy in a marriage mm-hmm. is not being pursued, that's going to lead to further sexual brokenness
yep.
and trauma and hurt within them, and eventually could lead to the marriage really being in trouble.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's mutual, it's communication. And I would say if in situations of sexual abuse or trauma, addiction, that like with physical therapy on mm-hmm. on a broken leg, if it's truly, if that hurt and trauma is disrupting sexual intimacy within mm-hmm. your marriage, then you do need to get help.
Yeah.
And to say, well, I just need a break so I can heal.
Yeah.
That's not going to be enough. If it's disrupting sexual intimacy in the marriage, you together should be pursuing counseling, mm-hmm. marriage counseling. You should be pursuing. They even have sexual therapists mm-hmm. for couples,
yeah.
where they talk through whether that's a physical mm-hmm. issue where sex is uncomfortable or hurts for mm-hmm. one party.
Mm-hmm.
There's doctors you can meet with to
right.
fix that and to overcome that or to compensate for that for the sake of continued intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you need a sex therapist or you need a couples therapist,
mm-hmm.
get the help you need from those who specialize in those areas, just like you would
right.
Dealing with a broken leg or yep. a torn muscle or whatever.
Yep. Yep. I think that's really good. Yeah. A lot of pieces to that,
right.
To that question.
Right. So I would say just to say, well, yes, it's okay to take a break, for the sake of healing. Yes, but with all those qualifications
right.
I just made, it's not okay just to say, yeah, I need a break, period.
Yeah.
Undefined, you know, it could be however long. No, agree upon. We're going to work. We need to take a break, but work on it in these ways for this
yep.
amount of time, devoting prayer to it so that
yeah.
we can come back together and have a healthy, happy sex life in
right.
our marriage. And that's a plan that you work out. That's not just a indefinite.
Right.
You know,
open-ended.
Period, open-ended,
yeah.
we need a break.
Yeah.
That will damage your relationship,
yeah.
guaranteed.
So, mutuality.
Mutuality. That was
yeah.
one of the big things I was trying to communicate
yeah.
on Sunday. It's mutual.
Yeah. And tied in with that is going to be, it's going to be filled with grace. It's
right.
going to be filled with love and,
right.
and how you're making those decisions.
And if we take what Paul said to be true, the wife's body is not hers alone. It belongs
mm-hmm.
to the husband the
yeah.
other way around. And we take what we saw in Ephesians 5, husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
then that there is that mutuality. If the husband's loving his wife properly and the wife is struggling, or the other way around, then they're going to want to serve their spouse in that way for a season of time, knowing it's a sacrifice, but so that when they come, not if, but when they come back together sexually, it's life-giving and all the things that God intended it to be.
Yeah. No, that's good. So this next question kind of goes a little bit different direction, but specifically talking about God's plan for couples to have children and the role of birth control, whether that is birth control or women having their tubes tied or men getting a vasectomy.
Did you ever think we would be talking about this?
That would be a no. That would be a no. There's nothing. Nothing that I read in Scripture that says, do not take birth control,
right?
Or do not practice sex in a way that controls pregnancy.
Right.
So. So where do we go with that? How do we answer that question? God says, be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm.
Fill the earth.
So
yeah. So I would say a couple things. One, having children is certainly a gift from God that God has to make happen.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, there are some who cannot have children, and we have to trust that somehow is in God's plan. So to not have children doesn't mean that you can't have a fulfilling, fruitful right. marriage.
Yeah.
And then consider things like adoption or other means of becoming parents, if that's what God is calling you
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to put that in there, that if we say that it's God's plan for a couple to have children, we also have to acknowledge there are couples who cannot have children.
Right.
So, and that's a painful thing for many of them. And so we need to consider that. The other thing that I would say is, Scripture doesn't speak to birth control because, as far as I know, birth control wasn't available.
Right.
These things, pills and condoms and other things have not been developed, right?
Yeah.
Vasectomies weren't happening.
Right.
That was not. So it doesn't speak to those things. If we could also say, well, it also doesn't tell us how to, drive a car or things. So with this, we've got to take principles we see in Scripture and apply them to these other things. And I would say, because it doesn't say that we have to have children, nor does it say that anything about limiting children or those kinds of things, that this is left up to wisdom and discernment and what God is calling each couple to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Some couples feel the Lord is calling them to have many children.
Mm-hmm.
Great, have many children, or to not do birth control because they, and I've heard the argument, well, we want, if God doesn't want us to get pregnant, he'll keep us from getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
My argument against that would be, if God wants to overcome your birth control, he overcomes your birth control. And I can tell you many stories where God has overcome vasectomies, tube tying, birth control, condoms, whatever.
Yeah.
And people have kids anyway.
Yeah.
So I would say that argument works both ways. So if you feel led to have children and not use birth control, that's a conscience issue for you. Great. If another couple has no problem using birth control or getting your tubes tied or vasectomy, whatever, that's great.
Yeah.
And I think God's command to be fruitful and multiply, that's been a success. The world is filled.
Mm-hmm.
We, as mankind, have been fruitful and have multiplied.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have to say, well, then we are all commanded to have as many children as possible still.
Yeah.
I don't think that holds water.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you feel led to have a couple kids, great. If you feel led to have a baseball team as a family, great.
Yeah.
Don't apply your conviction to someone else in something that is not, that it's one of those disputable matters.
Yeah, no, this is really good, because when we talk about later on in 1 Corinthians, we get to this. This is a topic that could definitely fit into how do we handle these disputable matters and having a strong stance versus a weaker stance on that. And, no, that's really good. Mm-hmm. Cool. The last question, that came in is, had to do with, so as people get older, whatever the definition of elderly is, I feel like as I get older, that definition of elderly is moving further down the road.
Yeah, right? It's definitely a moving goalpost.
So, whatever the definition of elderly is, but what does healthy sex in marriage look like for elderly? Again, another topic I never thought we would.
That's right.
Yeah.
One that as someone who is 42 years old now, I can speak to sex up to 42.
42. You're right.
Beyond that, I don't know. So, but with that, I think we have a Reading Rainbow segment later, but I wanted to recommend a book cautiously.
Yeah.
So this is what I brought it up, and immediately Wes is like, oh, yeah.
I remember
so
that book.
Ed Wheat wrote, I don't remember what he is. He's a medical doctor, MD, Ed Wheat. Mm-hmm. And then he wrote it with his wife. It's called Intended for Pleasure. This was a big book back in the day because my mother-in-law gave it to my wife and I when we got engaged and said, you need to read this before your honeymoon. And you in your premarital counseling
had the book and the book on tape,
which I really wish I could hear what this book is like read to me. I don't know. It's just the subtitle. So it's Intended for Pleasure, Ed Wheat. The subtitle is Sex. I can't even read it without laughing. Sex, Technique, and Sexual Fulfillment in Christian Marriage. So there you go.
Yeah.
And it is very clinical. Mm-hmm. Very open, very blunt. There are diagrams. There are all the things in this book. So lots of good information. It led to some very interesting and embarrassing discussions for Amy and I.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly, looking back, I don't know how much I would recommend this to someone who is not yet married. Cautiously, right. Maybe right before. Actually, I think that's what my mother-in-law said. Read this right before your wedding, because don't read it too far in advance.
Yeah.
Because it's quite graphic. Yeah. But in a very clinical way. Again,
right.
Medical doctor.
Yes.
this is a long answer, and I apologize. the reason I bring this up, chapter 13 in the fourth edition, so they just put out a new edition. Mm. Chapter 13 says sex after 60, .. 70, .. 80, ..
Yeah.
So clearly they address this. And by this time, I don't know how old, Ed and Gay Wheat are, but they would be a lot older than when we were reading the book,
mm-hmm.
you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
For us, 18 years ago. I would assume as a medical doctor, he has had experience in dealing with this. And so I would recommend this book specifically for that. And they deal with some other topics, solutions to common problems.
Yeah.
There's erectile dysfunction, talked about in one of the chapters. There's one chapter on sexually transmitted diseases. So all that to say, some of these questions, even of like brokenness and things, mm-hmm. I think this would address some of those things in the book and do so from a Christian perspective,
yes.
but also from a medical doctor and a couple who have been married for many years. Mm-hmm. So, sex during pregnancy, what does that look like? Some really good topics and sex after 60, 70, 80.
Yep.
So I would recommend there that as the way to answer that question. Because I think going to some experts would be beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right. Well, that wraps up the questions that came in this week. So, appreciate those questions.
Yeah,
great questions.
Really good, insightful questions.
Yeah, give us an opportunity to continue to discuss that. So, so now we come to our monthly segment of Reading Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow. Yeah.
Reading Rainbow.
we bumped it from last week. Yeah. We had so many questions, didn't get to it last week. So, I want to talk about a couple books that I've been reading. The first, I finished this. I got it for Christmas. It's the Happy Rant book.
Yeah.
Wandering to and fro through some things that don't matter at all that much, and a few that really do. Let me read that. So, wandering to and fro through some things that don't matter all that much, and a few things that really do. Happy Rant is a podcast that we listen to often. It's very lighthearted, not serious.
Yeah.
Very tongue in cheek.
Yep.
But they basically, they're a couple of them are pastors, another's a Christian college professor, and they just they'll bring up cultural things going on, going on in the church, and just kind of talk about it, rant about it. And the book is very much the same, very fun, but really has some thoughtful things to say about issues of deconstruction, writing books. They're all authors, you know, pastor, lots of different topics that come up in the book, and really just a fun, it's a fun Christian book to read that actually has a point that they're making and about these topics. And I think it's just a really fun, good read and a good one for Christians who take themselves too seriously.
Right.
To just let's be able to poke some fun at ourselves.
Cause sometimes, they do a good job calling some things out, like why we do the things we do.
And so just really, really good. And then the other one is Be Thou My Vision, A Liturgy for Daily Worship. So this is one I got for Christmas. It leads you through a daily, as it says, a liturgy. It's got some very specific things that walks you through every morning. And it's on a monthly rotation. So it's got, 31 days worth, and you just repeat it. But it has time of prayer and confession and adoration and Bible reading and... It's just really good. It gives good structure to your quiet time, which is one of my goals this year to improve my personal quiet time. And it's just been a really great read so far, and gives you a lot of options on how to foster that intimacy with the Lord. Yeah. So it's by Jonathan Gibson, Be Thou My Vision, A Liturgy for Daily Worship.
That's great. That's great. Two books that I'm in the middle of right now. One is Jesus on Every Page. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually, this is tied in with a course that I'm taking on just survey of the Old Testament.
Nice.
And it great, great book when you start thinking about it, and it really just kind of draws the picture of the connection between Old and New Testament and how much it just... To me, what it brings out is the intentionality of how Scripture was written to point to Christ coming.
That's great.
And great book there. Another one just starting was recommended by one of our elders, and really good, The Flourishing Pastor by Tom Nelson.
I've read a great book.
Yeah.
Great book.
And that is an encouraging, challenging book, and just looking forward to get into that. So thanks, John Adams, for that recommendation.
Yeah, awesome. And we'll have links to each of these and Intended for Pleasure on our show notes and notes on our website. So check those out. But I think that just about does it for this week.
So. Wraps it up this session. So heading into the next part of chapter 7, right? For this Sunday. And looking forward to that. We got men's breakfast coming up.
Yeah.
We've got, make sure that you're checking out the weekly bulletin. A lot of events coming up that definitely want to get on your radar. So.
Yeah. And any men listening, make sure to set aside March 10th through the 12th for our man camp. It's going to be awesome. We're actually going up to tour the camp this week make some final plans for it. So it's going to be a great time and connecting with not just our men, which we're going to prioritize, but also some other men from other Harbor churches in our area. So it's going to be great.
It'll be super. All right. Well, until next week, we'll see you Sunday.
All right. Thanks so much.